Good morning. Greetings to all of you in the name of Jesus. It is good to be here this morning to worship the Lord with you all. God has blessed us with another beautiful day. And we have many, many blessings to be thankful for. Enjoyed our song service this morning. And always enjoyable to sit and sing a few extra songs, and so I found that to be encouraging. I'd like to, let me see, where do I want to start? I guess in the book of Ecclesiastes. Well, start with the depressing and end up with the cheerful, hopefully. Despite the kind of depressing notes in the book of Ecclesiastes, I do enjoy reading it, and I want to look at chapter 9 this morning and read a few verses there. There's value in pondering the words that were written here. They have a lot that they can teach us about our outlook on life. One of the things that I enjoy, and it kind of makes me smirk a little bit sometimes, is the fact that it's pretty obvious that being really smart and really wise is not the key to happiness. And I am neither very smart or very rich. Did I say? Being very rich and very smart is not the key to happiness. And and since I'm neither one of those, I'm pretty happy that we can find happiness even when we're not really rich and really smart. But anyway, there's one verse especially here that I wanted to focus on once I get there. Pages sticking together here. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And I think part of the reason I got thinking about this is there's someone that most of us know has just passed away. Frank Mencken. Some people here call him Granddad. Josh's dad just passed away. He lived a good long life. And I've learned a little bit about his life over the years through the stories that he has told, that I've heard, stories that Josh has told. I especially think about it when an older person dies. It makes me kind of look at and ponder the outlook in my life. And here, In chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." It seems like back in the old days, it was pretty important to people to leave a legacy, and probably still is, but reading the stories of things and the thoughts of people from long ago, like they wanted offspring, they wanted a family, they wanted children, generations to follow them. It's a pretty sad thing to die and not have generations following. And so the mindset here seems to be the fact that once you die, and we know that's the case, our human bodies no longer accomplish anything. We can't build a legacy once we're dead. And so this is a reminder here that what we find to do now, do it with our might, for there is no more work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Now, we do know that real life begins in eternity, and our life here is truly a preparation for that. But kind of what sort of, I guess, even more started this thought process is the other night I spent the whole night driving or sleeping. I tried to keep the two separate, and I did pretty well. I had to stop a few times to sleep for a little while, but the roads were snowy, looked like they could be icy, so I was driving slow, and it was such a long night. But I was listening to different stories and different songs and a lot of time to think. One of the quotes that I came across is, we keep on running just to make it through, holding on to dreams that we never get to do. Life keeps pulling us in a thousand different ways, while dreams have a way of fading away. And sometimes it feels like life is like that. We have dreams, we have ideas of things that we want to do, and then life gets so busy and it seems like we're just working on making it through. We're working on surviving, hanging in there, trying to meet our obligations and take care of everything that we need to take care of, and what we thought we would do keeps getting pushed off. The dreams, the plans, perhaps, keep getting pushed off, and we're too busy trying to survive. And those things seem to get away from us. Now, we do know that the only worthwhile dreams are dreams that God gives us, visions, and it speaks of that in the book of Joel. I like to turn there. Joel chapter 2. And verse 28. Here the prophet is speaking about God restoring his people. And their suffering, their difficulty, their pain being turned into just the opposite, abundance. And in verse 28 of Joel chapter 2, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." I would venture to say that any vision or dream that we can have for our life is only a worthwhile one when it comes through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of God in our lives. But even those things, when we're young, sometimes we think about, at least I did, things that I wanted to do. And it didn't seem like I could at the time. And then you get married, you have children, maybe you have a business or whatever, and it seems like those things get pushed off and get pushed off. Or maybe it can seem too difficult. And I just want to remind us this morning that when God puts a vision into our minds or a dream into our hearts of something he wants us to do, let's do what we have to do to do that and to let God work that out in our lives. In Acts chapter 2, the speaker there is quoting the verses from Joel, where I believe it's Peter. Peter is speaking to the crowd there, Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Everybody was marveling at these people that were speaking, and they were all understanding in their own tongues. And so in verse 15 of Acts 2, "For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." There again, Peter is saying, hey, this is what's going on. God's Spirit has come upon his people, and there is a pouring out of what God's Spirit has put into their lives. And so there again, we see what happens as God's Spirit moves in people's lives. There was testimony, there was teaching, there was prophecy, there was vision and purpose into people's lives. Now, sometimes it can seem like those things are hard to attain. And I think about the story of David, when God wanted to make a king out of David. He didn't just hand him a crown and give him a pat on the back and say, there you go. He sent a Goliath. That's how God prepped David. He sent a bear. He sent a lion. And then he sent Goliath. And there was a Saul. And there was all these threats on his life. And I believe God was using those things to prepare David for the role that he wanted him to fill. And so sometimes it can seem like big blocks in the way of what feels like the dream or the vision that God has put in our life. It's not always easy to get there, but we can get there as God guides our lives. And I think about what Brother Joshua and Audrey are doing in Chicago. You know, he's got to go to college all those years. And when ABT talks about how many years it takes from start to actually getting into the field, that's enough to make me say, I'd never make it. I just so much stuff to work through. But if we think about the challenges that David faced, and if we think about the fact that it takes a man or it takes a person who knows God to confidently say, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. You know, is that how we tackle our challenges? You know what? I'm here in God's name and by God's power. I am going to tackle whatever I have to get where God wants me to be. That's what David did. David is a young man when he was faced by that formidable foe. David understood. He was very confident in his God that God would help him overcome. And so the sword, the spear, the massive weapons, the massive shield, that didn't worry David at all, because he was standing in the presence and in the power of the Lord his God. And so I just want to remind us all this morning, so let God shape your vision for your life, and then work toward that with power from God and purpose and confidence. And like I said, it's not always easy, but when we let God shape that vision, it will be a worthwhile vision. So Philippians chapter 4, there the words of Paul and what he had to say about his life. We know that Paul's life was not always easy. He faced many difficult things, shipwrecks, beatings, imprisonment, stonings, stoned, left for dead. There's a whole bunch of stuff in Paul's life that was very painful. It was very difficult, but it never sidetracked him from following the vision that God had given him or his plan for God's life. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 is that oft-quoted verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I would add to that, the vision that God gives us, we can do all things because God will give us what we need to follow through in his plan for our lives. Beginning in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul recognized that his ability and the power to accomplish his mission came from God. He realized that the mission came from God, and God supplied what he needed. And so just some thoughts that went through my mind, and I wanted to share those things with you this morning and to encourage all of us. Don't let life and its busyness get in the way of what you know God wants you to do. Even though those things can seem like they're hard to attain, hard to reach, God gives what is needed. And I know that so often it truly does feel like life pulls us in a thousand different directions. Because life is busy, it truly is. But God wants to work his work in us, through us, the work of his kingdom, and that is an important work. And let's allow God to do that, to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in us, and not allow life, the world, our enemy, to fill up our life so much that we can't do what God wants us to do. So may we be encouraged in God's word as we look to him today. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, God, for this gathering. Thank you that we can be here today and we can bow our hearts and our minds before you, knowing that you are God. You are God over all, and you are the God of our lives. You are the Heavenly Father who dwells in our hearts through your Spirit. We thank you for your word and for the encouragement that we can receive from your word. And I pray, God, that we would allow your word to speak to our hearts today. And I pray that you would bless in the things following here in the children's lesson and in the message as Brother Emmanuel speaks to us. Pray that we would be hearing from you. We would be hearing your voice through your word, and we would allow it to impact our lives in all that we do. Thank you that we get to be a part of your family. And thank you, God, that we get to experience your faithfulness in so many ways. Difficult things in life come our way, but I pray that we would always trust you and seek to understand your guidance through all of it. Thank you again for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.